We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Pac-12 champion.
Omarui for three. Yes!
Oh, and a steal and slam for Williams.
Duarte to the basket. The slam.
For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Outright champion.
Holy three. Goal! And holy ball.
Left wing. Pow, pow.
Yeah, boom, boom.
Regular season champions. And now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Lots of things to get to today, including head coach Dane Altman for Oregon men's basketball. I had a great conversation with LJ Figueroa, Duck senior, who has an awesome story to tell. It involves baseball. And I'm not talking about Oregon baseball that's starting on Friday, though we will talk about that as well. But LJ Figueroa, let's just say that he and Chris Duarte may end up having a friendly wager of who's the better baseball player. We'll talk about that on Tip Off Tuesday coming up this afternoon. GoDucks.com/radio for where you can tune in for Tip Off Tuesday in your market. And we will have the show, of course, with video live 2:30 to 3:30 this afternoon across the Oregon Sports Network, meaning the Oregon men's basketball and women's basketball social media pages and the GoDucks YouTube page if you'd like to tune in. A pretty close game for Oregon women's basketball last night. We've got Kelly Graves and Taylor Mikesell. That's all coming up as the Ducks were right there against Stanford, right there. We'll break that all down in depth. We also will hear from Oregon softball head coach Melissa Lombardi on today's show. As the Ducks went 5-0, but I think you'll probably hear Coach Lombardi say, "Well, yeah, 5-0, but they're got wins, but there's some steps to be taken to get better moving forward." We talked with Coach Lombardi earlier this morning, so I already know that that's what she's going to say. But I didn't expect her necessarily to put it quite like that, but the Ducks feel like they can get a little bit better. And also for Oregon softball, we now know that there will be two games this weekend. They're going to play Fresno State twice as the schedule is constantly being updated all around us. Brooke Nunneviller with a heck of an honor for Oregon volleyball. Also Oregon track and field with a heck of an honor. And Mikhail McIntosh, former Duck, playing for Team Canada. A lot of good things going on in the world right now. We'll talk about all that coming up. As well as I will tease this just once, and to Jack Martyr, I apologize now. We're doing our feature on a facility today. I chose PK Park because, well, it's baseball season starting on Friday. And we found a video of Jack Martyr as I think he was a junior or a senior at the time. Gonna have to double check. 2010, so he actually might have been a sophomore. Well, Jack Martyr, now current assistant coach for the Ducks, he and Scott McGuff hosted a MTV Cribs-style PK Park baseball stadium tour 10 years ago, 11 years ago. We found it in the video archives, tweeted it out yesterday, and Jack was like, thanks, Joey. I was trying to, you know, maybe keep that one under wraps. He says that the player's probably going to have a field day with that. Well, we're going to have a field day with it ourselves on Duck Insider coming up a little bit later. Which now brings me to Athletic Director Tuesday, always brought to you by Pepsi and locally owned Bigfoot Beverages. Deputy Athletic Director Eric Rodell is here virtually. Eric, do you remember the video that I am referring to? And if you haven't, I will send it to you because it is worth a watch.
No, I was just thinking that I can't wait to go find that tweet and see what kind of crib they were describing.
So it was like, you got to imagine, you know, PK Park was still brand new, right? Like everything was still, everything was new, right, about PK. And so Jack and Scott give everyone the tour of what PK Park looked like. Come to find out, Scott Phillips shot it. Scott Phillips was the one carrying around the camera here 11 years ago. So we've got that coming up. But so Eric, hey, you know, you're in charge of baseball as the sports administrator. Let's start there just real quick. How exciting is it to get back to PK Park, and especially after that was one of many seasons that was ended so abruptly almost a year ago?
Yeah, it kind of feels like 5 years ago and like yesterday at the same time that we kind of had to call off baseball season. I remember they were heading onto the buses to go down to UCLA and play a conference series, and we had to let them know that we were pausing at the time. And I know that our coaches, our student athletes are so excited to get back out on the field and start competing this spring.
Baseball coming up, 4 o'clock on Friday, first pitch. We'll have it here for you on the Oregon Sports Network. You know, Eric, what else has been on your desk lately? I mean, that's a very open-ended, large question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What else has been on your desk lately?
I don't know. What hasn't? Right, so we've got 20 sports, Joey, and I went through the roster just before I jumped on, and I think we've got 17 sports of the 20 actively competing in some way right now. So, you know, football's taking a little break. They're going through their workouts, and they're going to jump back into spring practice here soon. And then we've got outdoor men's and women's track and field. But other than that, we're pretty much full go, full speed ahead. And it's great for our student athletes. I know everybody's been looking to get back into competition, and you know, just as administrators, we're trying to find a way to make that happen for all of our student athletes, health and safety coming first, and working through campus and our public health authorities, and, you know, trying to pull together the resources to make all that happen and still provide a great experience. So that's what we've been up to.
Nothing. Yeah, absolutely nothing on his desk. Eric Rodell, Deputy Athletic Director, joining us. Hey, on the football front, Erica, football season tickets went on sale on Monday, which to me was kind of a cool celebration of, you know, hey, we have kind of that light at the end of the tunnel to look forward to through this academic year, and then we're all hoping that things look a little normal in Autzen Stadium in the fall, right?
Yeah, well, we're going to take it one step at a time. And, you know, our fans, you know, they really stuck with us through this, our season ticket holders and our donors. And, you know, we're still at a really good, solid renewal rate for the 21 season based off all the commitments that have been made for 20. So we're kind of working through all that now. And then we want to bring as many people back, you know, into the family as we can and sell some season tickets. But, you know, with all that being said, we've got to continue to work through campus and through our state and local health authorities and make sure that our community is safe. And, you know, hopefully by the time we get to fall, we'll be ready to host fans and get some energy back into Autzen Stadium.
How do you plan for so many unknowns, Eric, in your job right now?
You just have to have a flexible, kind of nimble mindset. And you cannot be married to anything at this point in time. You really got to be, you know, you got to be versatile with every situation and really expect the unexpected. And you've got to always build some adversity into your planning. And that's always a good thing to do anyway, but especially right now, because you really never know what's coming around the corner. You know, we've got our guiding principles and student athlete experience and health and safety. And, you know, within all of that, we're going to try to find a way to make it work.
Deputy Athletic Director Eric Rodell, our guest on the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. So we talk about football and getting back to it. Eric, we know that that's the economic driver of college athletics. How big of a of an upcoming season is this potentially just for, you know, season tickets and all those things, but then also just a fan base that I think is just so excited about what's going on around here right now?
Yeah, and all the conversations that we have, that I have out in the community, there's so much energy and excitement around just getting to experience things in person again and being a part. You know, Duck football is such a big part of our state and certainly here in our community. And that's something that we're all working towards getting back to, where we can not only play football, but all enjoy it and experience it together as a community and you know, create a huge event out of it. So again, that's going to take a lot of heavy lifting between now and the fall. And we're going to hope that, you know, things continue to trend in the right direction so that we can get back there. But in the meantime, you know, we've got a lot of things kind of immediately right in front of us, and we're going to continue to promote and try to build that base as best we can. And football, as you mentioned, it is our driver. It does make our, it's what makes our department go. And what we're seeing around the country right now with university athletic programs struggling is in large part due to, you know, the abbreviation of seasons. So you lost TV rights and multimedia rights and not being able to host fans and generate game day revenue. So that's a huge obstacle for all of us right now. And it's not just college sports. It's all kinds of industries that rely on really face-to-face in-person interactions to be able to experience things. So, you know, we're going to keep plugging away, Joey.
I'm all for that. I think that's all you can do in some circumstance. Eric Rodell, Deputy Athletic Director, joining us. Eric, to the court now. A lot of fans, I think, are looking ahead toward what's going to be a different-looking postseason. We touched on that a little bit last time you were on with us. In the short term, Eric, a lot of folks also wondering about, are we going to know when games are going to be rescheduled? How are things going with that? I mean, that's a puzzle for the conference and folks like yourself to try to figure out right now, isn't it?
Yeah, different schools in the on the men's side. I know some games have been lost on the women's side as well. On the men's side, we've lost 5 games, and I think the only other school in the league that's lost more was Arizona State. So with our 2 pauses, you know, we've got some ground to make up now, and we've got 5 games remaining on our regular schedule. And then, you know, there's ongoing dialogue right now. And the hope is to be strategic about getting conference games made up. And, you know, there's a number of variables and things that will be considered with that. You're going to look at, you know, where teams stand and positioning as many teams as possible for the tournament. And you want to be as fair as you can, but I think we could all agree that competitive equity, you know, kind of gets pushed to the side with a lot of these decisions, because it's just not possible to always be completely equitable when you're trying to make things work. We found that with football as well. So hopefully we're going to find a way to get some more games back in to the schedule, but also create, you know, a good opportunity for our student athletes to continue to finish strong and position ourselves well for the tournament.
You know, Eric, I mean, I feel like that really has to be fundamentally what this is all about, right? Is the student athletes just want to play as many games as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. They've worked hard and they want to go out and compete. And, you know, so that's the objective of everybody, is to create opportunities for student athletes to go out and compete and you know, go out and achieve their goals as a team. And, you know, we're going to have hopefully some opportunities as we close out the regular season and head to Vegas and hopefully position ourselves for a run in Indianapolis at the NCAAs.
I want to talk about postseason in a moment. First, quick timeout, and then we've got some tennis updates, baseball to talk about. Eric Rodell, Deputy Athletic Director, is joining us. It's Athletic Director Tuesday, brought to you by Pepsi and locally owned Bigfoot Beverages. A quick timeout. When we come back, we got a whole lot more, and also going to talk with Kelly Graves and Melissa Lombardi. It's a busy show on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to really volatize it.
What?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Doug Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joy Mack inside the Country Financial Studio. Deputy Athletic Director Eric Rodell, kind enough to join us for another segment brought to you by Pepsi and locally owned Bigfoot Beverages. Our Athletic Director chat each week. Eric, we were talking about postseason for basketball a little bit. I mean, what's the outlook right now for basketball in Vegas and then heading into Indianapolis? You know, there are certainly a lot of different things to juggle, but I for one, am just excited for tournament basketball again.
Yeah, we've seen that there's a way to make this happen. The Pac-12 has been working really hard, you know, with Las Vegas and T-Mobile Arena to create an environment where we're going to ensure the health and safety of our student athletes and you know, logistically be as efficient as we can for everybody, for all the teams involved, and get everybody down there and play some games. And then, you know, depending on what happens there, you know, some of the teams that stick around for a while are likely to head straight to Indianapolis. So it's going to be a bubble type of an environment down there to make sure that, you know, interactions with those outside your team group, your immediate travel party, coaches, teammates, some staff, you know, is kept to a minimum and really focus on, you know, continuing with their academics and going out and competing. And, you know, I think there's some really good plans in place from what I've seen so far, and a lot of it's still being worked on as well.
Yeah, I imagine this. It's kind of a moving target for all of this, isn't it? You know, things are going to be refined and, I guess, updated up until there's a tip-off, right?
Yeah, it's really fluid. Everything's fluid right now. But, you know, there's conversations every day around, you know, the regular season and the postseason as it pertains to basketball. So, I know a lot of time and thought and energy is being put into, you know, creating the best possible postseason environment that we can down there, and then, you know, see what happens and for the next step with the NCAAs.
Coach Graves has mentioned on the women's side, Eric, that, you know, say Oregon gets eliminated early or something like that, right? Or any team gets eliminated early. Would there be a possibility of maybe playing other games, playing other makeup games while everybody's already in Vegas? I imagine everything's on the table. Is that something that's really being talked about on the men's side right now?
Not particularly, but I wouldn't say that anything's out of the question. you know, it really depends on, you know, what transpires as we lead into Las Vegas and how things are progressing with the regular season. Certainly, you know, if there are key games and there's an opportunity to play them, you know, I guess you never know.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, hey, that's kind of how we all feel right now, right? It's like, well, we'll find out, you know, it's everything's very, very,
very fluid. I just know as we worked our way through the football season, you know, there were many hypotheticals that we talked about as a conference in terms of, you know, ways to continue to find opportunities for our student athletes. So I'm sure those talks will continue across all of our sports as we kind of run into challenges and obstacles.
Baseball starting up, mentioned how excited we all are to see them back at PK Park, Eric. And what are some of the inherent challenges ahead for that squad? You know, bigger roster, lower risk sport than some others. I don't know. Just what's the vibe on baseball season this year?
Yeah, I mean, some of the dynamics are a little bit different just with the return of super seniors from last year, where the NCAA granted an additional year and were able to loosen up on some roster limitations that are typically in place. But, you know, other than that, these guys, they're just going out there and going about their business and working hard and looking forward to competing. And, you know, we're going to be dealing with a new set of protocols in that sport, like we are with every sport that we have right now. You know, once they get out there in between the lines, I wouldn't say that a whole lot will be different for our baseball student athletes. It's going to be more the, you know, the things that everybody's that's competed so far have to deal with, where you're traveling a lot differently. And when you're on the road, you know, you're not taking a walk with your teammates out to spend your per diem. You know, you're going down and you're picking up your box meal and you're going back to your room and you're eating it, unfortunately. And so it we're just still in that mode where we've got to be really careful. And Coach Waz and his staff have done a tremendous job with our baseball student athletes and really having the right mindset to get us to this point.
To the court in tennis, Eric, you're also overseeing men's tennis and women's tennis. And I said this last week on the show that with the inclement weather that was in the area that led to postponements and cancellations for men's and women's tennis, like that would have been, you know, really, really big deal in a normal year. But we've seen so many cancellations, it was just kind of like, oh, man, it's just another cancellation. Now, the good news is, Eric, and I know that Coach Schielander's excited about this because we had him on the show last week, we actually kind of got an extended Husky week as a result of that, which is always fun.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you had Coach on talking about Husky week. He loves that. But, yeah, it was unfortunate that the weather kind of passed through the Portland area last weekend at the time that it did. It created some travel issues for some teams that were supposed to come in, and we were able to get those matches rescheduled, though. The men have Portland in coming in tomorrow, and then they've got Washington on Sunday, which will be a really big match and be fun to see our tennis student athletes get out there and compete against some tough Pac-12 competition early on here. And then on the women's side, they're sitting 2-1 right now, and they've got a couple matches this week as well. And Coach Nagel's continues to do a great job in developing that squad.
17 sports going on right now. You got to love it. Hey, Eric, I know it's a lot. It's certainly been a lot like for us, but it also means that the show writes itself, which is great.
Well, you've got plenty to talk about. I mean, you've never had more sports to talk about at one time, right?
Exactly. It's the best. I mean, you know, we've had so many head coaches coming on, and it's, to be honest, even though it is a little bit wild and crazy, I'm just so glad that for sports like volleyball and soccer that they are able to compete and we can feature them still here on the show. That's what this is all about. Eric Riddell, Deputy Athletic Director, hey, thanks so much for taking the time. Thanks for what you do, and hoping to see you from afar to Matthew Knight Arena, maybe PK Park again.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's your postseason basketball looking like right now?
Well, let's see. There's a TV over there that we will be moving to be right in front of me. And then, yeah, the magic of engineering and technology. And if I do my job right, Eric, you will think I am sitting there next to you when you listen to the game.
Your energy will ring through, Joey. So
I hope so.
What's that been like for you?
Oh,
when we're on the road.
It is really, really weird,
to be honest with you. I made the joke that I feel sort of like Will Ferrell in Anchorman, that I'm in a glass box of not necessarily emotion, but I'm just in a glass box talking to myself. And, you know, in all seriousness, Eric, the broadcasters, like my colleagues across the conference, we've all, and the video departments in general as well, what we've done is kind of created like our own private little network to get the feeds and the certain video and audio that we all need so that we don't have to travel. And it keeps all of us lower risk, which has been great, especially at, I'm the youngest broadcaster in the Pac-12. And I can only imagine what some of those other guys that are older are thinking. You know, I know they don't want to travel right now either. So it has been weird though. But if you've heard any games, Eric, and you can't really tell the difference, then I guess we did okay, right?
I've heard some bits and pieces. You're managing it well.
Yes. Yes. That's the dream come true right there. Now, baseball will be a little bit different, Eric. We'll talk about that another day, though, okay?
You got it. Thanks for all you're doing, Joey.
Thank you, Eric Rodell, Deputy Athletic Director. That turned around on me in a hurry, didn't it? See, that's what happens. I'm not used to this unless Jerry Allen's in the room. It's Athletic Director Tuesday, brought to you by Pepsi and locally owned Bigfoot Beverages. Go Ducks. Drink Pepsi. All right, quick timeout. When we come back, Melissa Lombardi, head coach Oregon softball, is going to join us on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hey, everyone. Let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday Fundays left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
We're back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack with you inside the Country Financial Studio. Oregon softball head coach Melissa Lombardi joining us on the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. Coach, let's just start here. Had to be good to be back on a softball field playing against somebody that wasn't wearing an Oregon uniform, right?
Yes, it did. It felt great to be back on the field in great weather. And yes, to play somebody besides a Duck. So we were all excited to be on the same team.
I've asked a few different coaches and student athletes this because the layoff has been longer than normal and the offseason has been so different. Were there extra nerves for you and for your team?
I would say yes. I think we would all be fibbing if not. You know, it's almost a year since we've gotten to play a game and be back out on the field together. So I think there's some nerves, but I think good, positive nerves. You know, the excitement of getting back something that we thought, you know, we had lost. You know, so it was good to be back on the field.
So you go 5-0 over the weekend. You have four run rule victories. The pitching staff, I thought we saw the depth. What was your breakdown of a 5-0 weekend, Coach?
Yeah, I thought we went in and we got our wins, which that's the most important thing, is find a way to get the W. I think for pitchers, the thing we express to them the most is give us an opportunity to win the ball game. That's all we care about. Just give us an opportunity. I felt like they all did a great job of giving us that opportunity each game. I would say, you know, we need to clean up some things defensively. We made some errors that I just think are not like us. We're very, very sound on defense, and I think we have an excellent defense. So just cleaning that up a little bit. And then I think offensively, we just kind of started, had a little bit of a slow start, but then as we got going, started to figure it out.
You know, on the defense, Coach, I as a coach, I know you're not going to make the excuse, but as the broadcaster, I'm going to ask the question. Nerves are a part of that, maybe, and then I guess the other thing is playing in an environment again. You know, I don't know. Is there a little bit of leeway for those sorts of things early in a season like this?
You know, mistakes are going to happen. It's just, I think the most important thing is growing, the growth that we get from them. So I think we will get a lot of growth from it.
Combined perfect game. That's the fourth ever, by the way, in school history, which is pretty darn cool. So let's talk about the pitching a little bit. Were you happy with the way that your pitching staff performed?
Yeah, I can definitely tell you with that game, I love the way Samaria came out and just pounded the zone. That's what we've been talking about leading up to the season. Pitchers throw strikes, pound the zone, have the opportunity to change speeds. And then until the opponent tells you to do something different, don't change. Keep doing what you're doing. And I really liked how Samaria came in and pounded the zone. And then with Reagan coming in at the end to close it, I thought she did the same thing. So I thought they were very efficient and allowed their defense to work behind them. We had a diving play at shortstop to help with that perfect game. We had a diving play in right field that also helped. I mean, we had some big time plays around them that made that perfect game happen.
You know, early in a season like this, I look at the stats from the first five games and I see a zero ERA, a zero ERA, a zero ERA, a zero ERA, and then a really high 1.27 ERA. I mean, the days when a 1.27 ERA can be the worst on the team, that's got to be, you'll feel pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a long way to go. It's our first weekend. Again, the thing that we all care about the most is for our pitching staff to give us an opportunity to win the ball game. Each one of them has such a completely different look from the other. It was nice to see them kind of tag team and work together this past weekend.
You know, that was something that you and I had talked about, Coach, heading into the season, that you felt like you had a lot of depth and you could utilize pitchers in different roles. I mean, I thought that as we talked about that, and I was watching the games, looking over the box scores, it's like, yeah, I mean, we saw that. Like, do you envision this throughout the course of the season, right, where you can utilize pitchers in different roles like that?
Absolutely. I think they all have the ability to start a game, close a game, and then come in relief. And I think it's us as coaches figuring out what combinations work the best together, you know, to have, say, a Samaria who's got really good velo, and then, say, Brooke, who spins the ball. Putting those two back-to-back, I think that's tough on the opponent. I think that's big adjustments that the opponent's going to have to make, and it creates a great advantage for us.
You mentioned the slow start offensively. As Coach Lombardi joins us talking Oregon softball, what else did you learn about your team on offense after this opening weekend?
That we have a really good offense, that we are going to be a tough 1-9, and that we've got depth on the bench. I mean, just looking, you look at last year and Maddie Hopper and what she did coming off the bench. Anytime we needed her to come in a game and clutch up for us, she did. And it was nice to see her just continue about her normal ways in the first weekend as well. So I think our offense is going to be really good.
Yeah, how about Maddie Hopper? Four games played, no starts, but 2-for-4 with a run scored and a couple RBI. Yeah, that's, you know, that's pretty mm-hmm. efficient. You got to like that. And that's a tough thing to do mentally, isn't it, Coach, to be able to be ready to come in off the bench like that as a substitute?
Yeah, I think it takes a special person to do that because, you know, you're on the bench. You've got to really stay locked in. You're paying attention to everybody's at-bats because you know you're going to get that opportunity. And when you do, you know, it may be one opportunity, maybe it's multiple, but it's you want to make that opportunity happen. And I think Maddie knows how to do that and to do it really well.
I thought Haley Cruz just did Haley Cruz things, Coach. Just to touch on that mm-hmm. for a second, I mean, an OPS of 1.365, she slugged 786, 7 RBI, 5 doubles in 6 hits. Not bad.
No, not bad. I thought Haley just kind of did Haley as well. She's really good at clutching up when we need her to, runners in scoring position. As a team, we always talk a lot about with runners in scoring position, cashing in. And I thought she did a great job of cashing in throughout the weekend.
Alyssa Brito with the three big RBI in that big game, mm-hmm. Coach. I mean, what does that do for her confidence moving forward as a young player?
Huge. I think that's huge for her because I think she's going to be an excellent hitter. I just think sometimes, you know, you're young, you can just end up putting more pressure on yourself than the actual opponent does. And so I think just giving her an opportunity to breathe a little bit, get a couple hits in, to give her the confidence to go with the great swing that she has, I think it's going to go a long way. And then honestly, I would also tell you, I thought she was excellent on defense this weekend. She had some, there's a couple shots that got hit hard to her that she made them look like they were nothing. So to be a freshman and to start at shortstop for us and just to be really cool, calm over there, I loved it.
So what's the focus in practice the rest of the week, Coach? Are you just doing defensive drills the whole time after we talked about that earlier?
Well, you know, it's our goal is every weekend that we're better, that we are better than the previous weekend. So what were some things that we didn't get exactly that we wanted to with this first weekend? Those are definitely going to be the main focuses, the emphasis of the week. And what's cool is I think all of us are on the same page. We all know as coaches and players, here's some things that we need to tackle. And I think we're going to have a really, really great week of practice.
Off the field, how was the traveling aspect, Coach, in this wild time?
It's different. I mean, I have a bag full of masks because I have a certain mask that I wear for the plane, a certain mask that I wear for the bus, and then a game mask. But, you know, I thought they handled it well. I am very, very proud of this group and how they have been handling COVID and understanding that things are different and we have to go about things a different way. That's one thing I'll tell you that I've been extremely proud of them up until this point and then just going through this first weekend. They take it serious, and I really appreciate that from them.
After playing five this past weekend, originally scheduled to play Cal Poly in San Luis, those games canceled on Friday, but then Fresno still on the docket on Saturday, Coach. I imagine that this is just kind of what you're going to have to deal with, right? A little bit of the scheduling round and round we go?
Yes, for sure. I think we could each week we're going into it expecting one thing, and it could look a little different. We did lose the two games against Cal Poly, but we are going to have one game at 6 p.m. on Saturday against Fresno State, and then we'll play them again on Sunday at 10. So originally we were supposed to get three games. We'll get two, so we lose one. But Fresno State is an excellent program, and it's going to be a tough weekend, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, there you go. So two games against Fresno State now
two
on
games,
the docket
yeah.
for Oregon softball coming up on Saturday and Sunday. That makes the trip just ever more worth it, right, when you get to add another game like that?
Definitely. And I think our athletes and even us as coaches are understanding that. I mean, every game is worth it. Every game means something. And I think we've known that in the past, but just with COVID, I think it just really makes you understand that even more, how important every game is on your season. So.
All right. Coming up then this week, safe travels down to Fresno. Some of the best tri-tip in America. I think you and I have had this conversation before, right, Coach?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I'm glad that's all we'll say. That's going to be one of those. For those of you listening, if you know, you know. Melissa Lombardi, head coach, Oregon softball, kind enough to join us. Coach, good luck. Here's to two more wins, and looking forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, Joey.
All right, quick timeout. When we come back, women's basketball last night, a close one. We're going to break it all down with Coach Kelly Graves after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Dear Wallet, you can't stop in a 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear Wallet, you can't stop in a 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy. And you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Ducks with a close one last night against Stanford as we welcome you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joy Mack with you inside the Country Financial Studio. We're going to hear from Kelly Graves in just a moment. First, though, a really cool honor for Brooke Nunneviller. The junior outside hitter for Oregon Volleyball was named the Pac-12 Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week yesterday afternoon. She's the first player ever to earn both weekly honors, both offense and defense, in the 10 seasons that the conference has awarded an Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week. Nunneviller had a couple of just outstanding performances, averaging 4.17 kills and 4.67 digs per set. She hit 380 over the two matches. She had double-doubles and is leading the team in kills and digs both times out. She led the team, I should say, in kills and digs both times out, and she is currently leading the conference in kills and digs for her team. She's the only player to lead her team in both of those categories. That was a lot of stats for you, but it's basically just saying that Brooke Nunneviller has been really, really good. And for a second time this season, Oregon Track and Field has garnered a national accolade. Today, Cooper Teare. That's right. He's been outstanding. Division I Men's Athlete of the Week. National Athlete of the Week. He smashed the collegiate record in the mile, stopping the clock at 350.39 at the Tyson Invitational. He shaved off 1.62 seconds of the previous record held by former Oregon standout, the king himself, Edward Cheserek. Yeah. Cooper Teare became the seventh fastest performer in the world in the indoor mile and split at 335.46 in the 1500 meters, which is good for an Olympic trials qualifier. Congratulations to a couple Ducks with some pretty big honors right there. And also Mikhail McIntosh, Rob Mosley caught up with the former Oregon basketball player as he's competing for Team Canada. Really cool story on GoDucks.com. Encourage you to check it out as Oregon men's basketball continues to put players in different international spotlights, and it's been really cool to see. Well, women's basketball yesterday, it was a big one against Stanford, as the women still looking for some consistency. They got Maddie Shear back for a few minutes. Taylor Chavez was back with the team, but not in uniform. Ducks really closed strong after a solid finish to the first half. Then they just kind of chipped away. Ended up taking the lead 56-51 with 3:40 to play. Two late turnovers, though, from Taylor Mikesell, who got it a great rebound, then lost it. Tina Pau-Pau tripped, and it ended up being that Stanford closed out the Ducks 63-61. Taylor Mikesell, though, was great to see her get her shot to fall. 13 points, 5 of 7 from the floor, and 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. Taylor Mikesell will be featured on Tip Off Tuesday coming up this afternoon. If you're live with us, you can watch the show at 2:30 to 3:30, from 2:30 to 3:30, on the Oregon men's basketball and women's basketball Facebook pages, as well as the Go Ducks YouTube channel. And if you want to watch it on demand, I encourage you to check it out on the Go Ducks YouTube channel. We'll, of course, be posting the interviews to the Oregon men's and women's basketball Facebook page and the Twitter accounts as well. Sedona Prince, though, I did not think it was her best game, and I think the Ducks are still searching for that consistency, and it's because they haven't played together that much. We just are still seeing that. By the way, yesterday, Sedona Prince, great story on ESPN about
her journey, it's worth your time. Check it out. You'll find it. Google Sedona Prince ESPN. You're going to find it. So now the Ducks move forward, taking some lumps. But, hey, look, some perspective here. They've lost to really good teams in Stanford, Arizona, UCLA. Now they got UCLA again coming up on Friday, 5 o'clock on Pac-12 Network and a 4:30 pregame show here on the Oregon Sports Network. The Ducks, though, we did find out, would be a 3 seed if the tournament started today. Not bad. Ducks are still in that upper echelon in the country, but they're chasing the elites right now. I think that's what we're seeing with this young team. Kelly Graves, Oregon women's basketball head coach, he gave the media a few thoughts post-game after the Ducks dropped this one to Stanford, and now they look ahead to Friday's matchup with UCLA. Here's Coach Graves.
You got down in that second quarter, but there's fight in this team, and I know you're proud of your kids tonight.
I am. I'm really proud. You know, we're disappointed. We don't believe in moral victories. We wanted to win this game. We played hard enough and well enough to win the game, and we didn't. And, you know, so I know we're disappointed. But at the same time, I'm proud of the team and the fight we showed. I thought for the first time against one of these elite teams, we played well. You know, we played hard for 4 quarters, and it just didn't go our way. I thought we had a couple pretty good looks late, and it just didn't go our way.
The 3-ball, it returned tonight, 10 of 21, almost 48%. Got to be happy with that.
Yeah, it's been MIA in February, part of January. So, yes, it was good to have that back. But even more importantly, I thought we executed well to get those shots. We didn't take bad shots from the three, and I thought that was a big plus tonight.
Taylor Mikesell hitting a couple of threes, Tahina Pau-Pau as well. Especially Taylor been struggling a little bit with the shot. Jazz Shelley as well with a couple of threes. So some kids showed up tonight, and it's got to feel good as you get, you know, disappointment, but feels good going to UCLA on Friday.
It does, yeah. And there you go. You just said it. We got to go to UCLA, another our third straight top 10 opponent. You know, listen, we're right there. We're right there. You know, you could look at 3 of those 5 losses that we've had. The 2 Arizona games were the anomalies. And, you know, we had opportunities in all 3 of those games, just a little play here, a little play there. And, you know, and we're learning from it. But I told the kids tonight in the locker room, the benefit of playing in the Pac-12, one of the benefits, is that this prepares us for, I mean, we're not going to see, you know, Stanford's a legitimate championship game contender. They really are. And so we're used to playing that kind of team so that when we do get in the NCAA tournament, we've seen everything, we've played against the best, and hopefully we learn from it.
Coach, you had the luxury of setting up 2 plays out of timeout there late to try to tie or win. What were you looking to draw up there, and did you get the looks you were hoping for? Obviously, with Tahina tripping, that's kind of a bad luck thing. But did the ball go where it was supposed to go on those 2?
Yeah, we had a couple of looks. It wasn't for Tahina to make the play to score. We felt by the way they were defending that thing, we were going to be able to get a switch and a matchup that we wanted down low. It didn't work. Plus, we had our best shooter on that weak side. So, you know, it's just unfortunate. That's the way the ball bounces. I thought the possession before T Mike's 3, that's a, you know, and she was having a good night. That was a really good look for us. Again, we had our opportunities. I'm more concerned about what we gave them up. What we gave up at the other end. I don't think it was the offense. We could have done a little bit better offensively late, but I thought defensively we gave them too many easy shots.
Kelly, what is the message to those 3 shooters in particular? Because Jazz, Taylor, Tahina, they do have good nights and they do make 3s when they have been struggling. Yet, as you mentioned, obviously down the stretch, they come up with misses. There's got to be, on one hand, feeling good that they had a better night than they have the last several weeks. On the other hand, down the stretch, you know, to come up with the misses. What's the message of the 3 individuals?
Yeah, well, if they hadn't hit the early ones, it wouldn't have come down to 1 shot now, would it? I mean, you know, that happens. Michael Jordan missed a hell of a lot of shots late to win games. So, you know, yeah, I'd prefer him to make them. I thought we got good shots. That's all I can concern myself with is did we get a good shot? And I thought for the most part we got a couple of pretty good shots. I thought Jazz's was pretty good there late too. But that doesn't say anything about a kid's character or their willingness to take the big shot.
Kelly, there was a moment there in the third, speaking of 3-point shooting, I think it was, you know, Taylor hit a 3 and your bench just went absolutely crazy. I mean, has it felt like, or did it feel like in this one when the shots started falling, that there was almost a sense of relief coming from some of your players that, you know, finally, after all this time, the shots were going down and the confidence was rising?
Yeah, I think so. You guys, it's been a struggle. I mean, it really has. And offensively, we just, you know, we haven't been on point. We haven't been shooting it well. We got a lot of reasons. We're not making excuses. We're a young team. We're playing a really good portion of our schedule. We have no fans. You tell me that in a game like this, in the UCLA game, one possession games, that 12,367 people in the kennel wouldn't have made a freaking difference. You know what I mean? And, you know, and so we don't have a lot going for us. And so, yes, it was, I was happy to see. I think they know the struggles. You know, they come with a good attitude every day at practice, and we work hard, and it hasn't showed up a lot against our really good opponents. You know, we're beating the teams that we should, and now we need to start beating some of these teams that are ahead of us in the standings. But if we play this hard and this focused, you know, we're going to be able to do that at some point. And that, you know, could be in March.
Kelly, you guys were down by, I think, 15 points in this game. What does that comeback against a team of this caliber kind of, does that bode well for you guys going forward? Do you think you can build off that?
I do. This should springboard us. We would have felt a lot better with a win, but we should still feel better about our performance, even in this loss. Like I said, this is a team that could win a national championship, and we went toe-to-toe with them right there. And we had an opportunity here and there. So I'm not going to sit there and slam the team or anything. I'm really proud of them. I'm really proud of them, man. We played hard tonight. They gave it everything that they had. And so we're going to use this as a springboard. I put on the board tonight our drive to March. We truly feel like we can be a player come March. This is the kind of game, even in a loss, that will help us. But make no mistake, Ryan, we do not believe in moral victories. We wanted to win a game. We're disappointed that we didn't win the game. And so I'm not going to just sit here and say we're happy because we played close.
Try to go 2-for-1, Kelly. First, just you guys switch up the starting lineup again. Are you comfortable with that? Was that a matchup thing? And then Taylor Chavez, kind of her availability, I think, for Friday.
I don't know. I'm hoping. We're hoping. She's in the middle of that COVID progression. You know, they got to get a little bit better. We're hoping by Friday that we have her. I think she'd really help. I liked, you know, I just like the way Sydney's been playing in practice. And we wanted to get T-Mike. Listen, we need Taylor. We need her. If we're going to make a run in this thing, we need to have Taylor be that sniper that I know she's capable of being. So I just thought that, you know, by reinserting her here, I just thought it was the right time. And I think that paid off tonight. So hopefully she uses this as a real positive and springboards to a really great finish.
Taylor Mikesell's who he's talking about there. I think that the Ducks are going to need that dead-eye shooter. She certainly was that, 2 of 3 from three, and hit some big shots for the Ducks against Stanford. So now it's UCLA next up. And Taylor Mikesell is going to be on Tip-Off Tuesday with Terry Johns and myself coming up this afternoon. If you're live with us, you can watch the show 2:30 to 3:30 across the many social media channels that have live video for Oregon men's and women's basketball, then across the radio network tonight at 7 o'clock. And subscribe to the Oregon Sports Network podcast, where you can find our podcast version of our archive of all of our shows that we do, including Tip-Off Tuesday. Up next, a look back in history of PK Park. That's right. Oregon baseball starts on Friday. We're going in-depth on that facility next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
More Duck Insider coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
On Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joy Mack with you inside the Country Financial Studio. Every Tuesday, we take a look at an Oregon facility. It's always brought to you by our friends at the Josh Cooley Real Estate Team, and they thank you for your support and referrals of friends and family, the official real estate team of the Oregon Ducks, the Josh Cooley Real Estate Team, bringing us our facility focus. Well, Oregon baseball starts on Friday, a 4 o'clock first pitch. The Ducks will face Omaha. We'll have a 3:45 pregame show for you on the Oregon Sports Network with myself and Alex Stimson on the call. And PK Park, thought we'd look back on the tremendous construction in the baseball stadium that now the Ducks and the M's call home. It has been the jewel, honestly, of the Pac-12 now for the last decade. Originally cost $19.2 million to construct, which if you convert that to 2019 dollars, and people who are a lot smarter than me in math do that, it would have been $22.9 million if it was in 2019. Of course, a capacity of 4,000. The record attendance is actually, though, over 5,000. You remember that 20-inning game between the M's and, I believe, the Boise Hawks? Yeah. It was the longest ever professional baseball game to be played on the July 4th Independence Day holiday. And the M's, well, it got past midnight. We'll put it that way. So, of course, the Ducks sharing the facility with the M's, but we all know that this is Oregon's ballpark. It was originally built in two phases, right? You'll remember that with groundbreaking on August 15th, 2008, I should say, the first phase was all about the field. Then an entire season was played in 2009 with a lot of temporary seating. Jerry Allen has still told me stories of power cords running through rainwater. We won't talk about that during that temporary facility. Of course, the Ducks, on the very first game at PK Park, February 27th, 2009, Oregon beat the defending national champions in Fresno State 1-0 on a walk-off single by Andrew Schmidt. It was witnessed by a sellout crowd of 2,777, with the second phase of the project being completed the following year. First game in the fully realized PK Park was on March 2nd, 2010, a 6-2 win over the Huskies with 2,609 in attendance. Now, since then, PK Park has seen the addition of an expanded player development facility, which houses a number of tremendous things, including batting cages, workout facilities, and a lot of technology, to say the least. That's now beyond the right field bullpen, where the Ducks bullpen is located. Well, the video that you're watching, for those of you who are watching the show right now, featured Jack Martyr and Scott McGuff, who are giving us an MTV Cribs-style tour of PK Park back in 2010. Shot by our man Scott Phillips, by the way. Jack Martyr, now current assistant coach for the Ducks. What goes around comes around. If you want to see the full video, go to my Twitter, at JoeyMacUO. We tweeted it out. It's awesome. Jack Martyr was hoping to keep it under wraps. Well, still out there on YouTube, Jack, and so we found it. PK Park, though, a tremendous facility, and man, it is really something else. Our facility focus brought to you by the Josh Cooley Real Estate Team. Great way to finish the show. We'll see you for Tip Off Tuesday.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through, like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet. Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing.
Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.